Hi, Levin, you're now live.
Good evening, welcome. Thank you for joining us tonight here on shareenjoyment.com. We want to begin by thanking our host, Jake Weinman, for making this possible and bringing us together through his enormous, tireless efforts on behalf of all of us. And we want to thank our sponsor tonight for dedicating the shiur, Lezecher Nishmas, Manish Yitzchok Ben Aryeh, may his neshama have an aliyah. This week is Parshas Shalach, a beautiful parsha. There are many, many things that are happening around us in this week's parsha. Of course, there is the shiur, the highlight of the shiur. There is the parsha of Mon. We learn about Amalek at the very end of the parsha. And there are many things in between. This week is also Tu B'Shvat. It's very common that Parshas B'Shalach falls out against the backdrop of Tu B'Shvat. Indeed, there are various remos and hints in the parsha to Tu B'Shvat. And let us tonight discuss for a few moments some ideas relating to the festival that's coming upon us at the end of the week, Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat, we know, is what Chazal says in the Mishnah, Rosh Hashanah Le'ilon. Rosh Hashanah Le'ilon, the Mishnah actually mentions first the opinion of Beis Shammai. The Mishnah begins by telling us that on the first day of Shvat is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilon L'divrei Beis Shammai. But Beis Hillel disagrees. Beis Hillel holds that the Rosh Hashanah for the Ilon is on Tu B'Shvat, the 15th day of Shvat. And we, of course, we accept generally the opinion of Beis Hillel, and they still hold the 15th day of Shvat is when it is the new year for trees. Kind of one question, the obvious question is that if we go out into the street, we go out this Thursday into the street and we look at the trees, it doesn't look like anything really is happening. The trees don't seem to be anywhere near ready to blossom. They're barren. They're empty. They look withered. And yet, Chazal tell us, no, it's the new year. What does this mean? There are many different opinions, many different understandings as to what this means. One interpretation is that throughout the winter, the tree behind the scene, unbeknownst to us, is storing up water, which translates into sap. There's a lot of science that is taking place under the hood. It's interesting. It's a day of science, if you like to call it that. It's a day when we, Chazal understood that there are conditions, there are occurrences in nature that happen hiddenly that we do not see with the naked eye. But the conditions are maturing, and they've reached a point of completion where the foundation is laid out and is present, where the tree now has the potential to develop and grow and produce beautiful fruit. And this is expressed in different ways. One opinion expresses that the uniqueness is that the sap in the tree has reached its destination. It's in place now for the fruits to blossom. Other opinions explain that it has to do with rainwater. Most of the rain of the year has fallen at this point in time, which is the most critical element which the trees need for them to blossom as we proceed. We march towards the spring. In the world of halacha, we are very well aware that there are different laws that govern the different years. There's a 7-year cycle, or in fact now in the 6th year. Next year is the Shemitah year. And the year number one and two, we give Meiser Rishon and Meiser Sheni. And in the third year, we give Meiser Ani. And we have to know, when we're giving our tithes, is this from the previous year or is it from the next year? Just because we pass through Rosh Hashanah, there is still fruit, there is still produce that lingers on from the previous year. And Chazal tell us that any tree that has begun to blossom, any tree that has begun, there are trees that do blossom this time of the year in different climates, different parts of the world, parts of Eretz Yisrael. Anything which begins to blossom has begun already to develop to a maturity of a third of its growth unto the Shat. This is the next year. I'm sorry, anything from that has been blossomed the previous year. If it has not yet blossomed, then it's the next year. It's a mark in time to make a determination regarding the tithes of Meiser Rishon, Meiser Sheni, Meiser Ani, to differentiate the various years. But let's discuss briefly some agada. Chazal tell us that a human being is compared to a tree. It says in the Pasuk, in Parsha Shoftim, person goes out, he besieges a city to take hold of the inhabitants of the city. There's a war. And in the war, it's only natural to destroy the natural resources in order to starve your enemy. The Torah says, don't do that. When you come to a city in war and you are laying siege, do not destroy the fruit trees to put upon it, to cast upon it an axe. Why not? You shall eat from its fruit. The and then the Pasuk says, Ki ha'adon eitz hasode. A man is like an eitz, a tree of the field. Lavoi miponecha ba'matzar. There are three more words, which we'll explain in a moment, but the darshanim, this is not the Pashut Pshat, this is not the simple meaning of the Pasuk, but those who interpret looking homiletically, they stop the Pasuk at the end, right there. And the Pasuk is comparing a human being to a tree. A person has potential. A person produces fruit. His children. He produces wisdom. Innovative. There's a Talmud Chacham. He presents new ideas in Torah. A human being is a very advanced creature who produces fruit. And just like it is simple in our eyes that we don't chas v'shalom cut down a human being, that's murder. There can be no greater crime than to prevent a human being from growing and developing. Likewise, a tree is a marshal for a human being. That's the simple interpretation of that. That's the very popular idea. A tree is just an example of a person. There are many parts to the tree. There are the roots. There's the bark. There's the trunk. There are the branches. There's the fruits. There are the leaves. Many elements, many parts, many dimensions. And each part of the tree can be expounded upon to learn and compare how it relates to humanity. So let's look at the pasuk at a very simple level. The very simple level of Rashi is actually a very, very difficult pasuk to really understand what this means. And the pasuk concludes with the words, "Lavoi mipanecha, to come before you, b'matzar, in the siege." Let me just read you the words of Rashi. Rashi says, Ki adam eitz hasadeh hariki meshamish b'loshem dilma, shema. In essence, what Rashi is about to say, the pasuk is to be read as a rhetorical question. Shema Adam Eitz Hasodeh Lihikoneis Besoich Hamatzar Mipanecha. Is a person like a tree that is part of the siege? Lihisyaser, that it deserves to be chastised, the Yisurei Ra'av, with punishments of punishment and chastisement of famine, the tzoma and the thirst, anshehu ir, lama sashchisen, why should you destroy it? In essence, Rashi is saying, very similar reading of the pasuk, that here you have an enemy, a vicious enemy. There's obviously a very good reason why you're attacking the city. That we're assuming there's a good reason. Klali shel rachman b'nei rachman, they're merciful people. They wouldn't attack a city for no reason. In this city, there are people that are deserving of punishment, are deserving to be clamped down upon. Justice is about to be served. And the pasuk says, the people in the city, they deserve chastisement. They deserve justice for their crimes. But the trees outside the city didn't do anything to you. Just because you're now permitted to express a degree of what appears to be violence in order to exercise judgment, that doesn't give you the right to destroy the environment. And we have to read the pasuk in a question. Ki ha'adam eitz hasadeh? Are the trees human beings? In this context, are they evil human beings? Lovay miponecha b'motzar, that they also have to be part of the siege and suffer? It's bad enough. You have to exercise your power to punish the evildoers of the city. But you don't have to go and harm the trees. What did the trees do? Are the trees human beings? That is the simple reading of the pasuk. I want to suggest an idea and expand upon the homiletic approach. The homiletic approach takes the pasuk and just says, Ki ha'adam eitz hasadeh. We take this expression, we isolate it, we don't look at the context, we remove what it says before, we remove what it says after, we take the expression, we have a beautiful expression, Ki ha'adam eitz hasadeh, and that's it. And this is called homiletics. You take an expression and you expound upon it. Oh, a human being is a tree. The simple reading of the pasuk doesn't say anything like that. But that's not a contradiction. We do this very often in the Mamore Chazal. The Torah is divine. Expressions are given to be interpreted and understood. But let's combine the two together for our purposes. The pasuk, when we read it according to its simple interpretation, is a rhetorical question. And it's, Ki ha'adam is a person, are the trees human beings? Let's manipulate that expression, that simple interpretation, with the laws of homiletics, and understand that the pasuk is being read in the form of a question. Is a tree a human being? That's the simple interpretation. There's a question being posed. And the homiletic interpretation is, a human being is a tree. Let us combine these two together and explain that what it really is a human being. A human being is a creature that asks questions. Just doesn't sit back and let other people and other situations manipulate him and push him around. A human being has the divine right to ask a question, to understand why Why are things this way? What's the reason? A person is entitled to seek. We have this one pasuk. It's that we homiletically understand it to be interpreted as a statement. Ki ho'odom eitz hasadeh. A man is like a tree. It's a beautiful thing. A tree is a beautiful creature, a beautiful object that Hashem put in this world. And that's a mashal for a man. That's a metaphor for a human being. But in the context of the pasuk, this expression is stated in the simple interpretation as a question. Is the tree like the human beings that you are obligated to punish? There's a question. That's the Pshutoi Shel Mikra. Let's take the Pshutoi Shel Mikra and embellish the homiletic interpretation. A man is a tree. We look at the tree, we walk in the street, we see a tree. Wow, what a beautiful thing. What a beautiful creation of Hashem. But it triggers in our mind the real simple interpretation of the pasuk, which is a question. And we add that to the equation. A person is like a tree, this beauty in that tree. But what makes a person greater than the tree is that the tree is not able to ask questions. The tree, it's watered, there's sunlight, it's pushed around. Wherever they plant it, that's where it grows. If there's rain, it will grow. If there's no rain, it won't grow. If there's sunlight, it will develop. If there's no sunlight, it won't develop. If someone one day decides they want to uproot the tree and transport it to a different location, they'll push it around. If they want to leave it here, they want to cut off a branch, a tree is pushed around. But the pasuk says, Ki ha'adam eitz hasadeh. Can you compare a tree to a human being? There's no comparison between a tree and a human being. Because a human being is a creature which can make its own decisions, which has free will, which has the ability to seek and develop himself. To conclude, there's another popular idea that Mepharshim mentioned regarding Tu B'Shvat. Question they ask is, why in the Mishnah does the Tu B'Shvat, do we refer to the day of the year with the singular expression of Ilan? On the first day of Shvat, it's Rosh Hashanah L'Ilan, for the single tree. Not L'Ilan, it's L'Divrei Beis Shammai, L'Divrei Beis Hillel, it's on the 15th day. Why do we refer to it as the Ilan? And the Mepharshim tell us a very deep idea. There's only one tree that has a new year on this day. This is a homiletic idea. And that's the Eitz Hadas Toivara. Every year in this day, there's one tree that is renewed, the Eitz Hadas. Adam and Chava made a fatal mistake. They violated Hashem's orders, and they ate from the Eitz Hadas. The fate of Adam HaRishay. Every year in Tu B'Shvat, the Eitz Hadas is renewed. There's a renewal. And when that tree is renewed, it presents itself to man and says, man, come, eat from me. I'm delicious. And Adam, mankind, is presented with the test all over again. Should we partake of its delicious fruit and give in to our evil inclination? Or should we obey the command of Hashem? This is where Adam has to make his own decision. These three ideas come together on Tu B'Shvat. Man is a beautiful creature. He's a tree. He has all of the exquisite beauty of the world that Hashem put into a tree. But man is better than a tree because man can make his own decisions. And the most important decision man has to make in life is, will he listen to the will of Hashem or will he give in to his base desires? Will he be a servant of Hashem or a servant of his passion, of his evil inclination? Man has all of the beauty of a tree, but man is better than that tree. And man has an obligation to exercise his free will to decide, uvacharta b'chayim, to decide to do what is Hashem's will, to cancel his personal desires for the benefit of Hashem's desires. And in this merit, we will see wonderful things ahead of us. Yeshua is Mechamais Refua for all of us, for Klal Yisrael, and we will witness the coming of Mashiach b'mehera v'yaneinu. Amen. Thank you for listening. Have a good night.